tātou, ngā mihi nui ki a koutou. Nau mai haere mai, nau mai hoki mai ki te huihuinga or Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name's Megan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Megan.
And I'd like to welcome you all to this meeting this morning. I'd like to welcome Roddy and Walter here who are sitting with me. Thank you for giving up your time and being here this morning, guys. It's great to have you here. A warm Pacific greeting to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. I'll be your chairperson, and would you please help me open this meeting with a serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm just going to read a portion of the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Before we start with our sharing this morning, we will read from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a text used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism and learn how to live without alcohol in their lives. This portion is from the doctor's opinion. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that, while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented, unless they can again experience a sense of comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks, drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his or her recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. This morning we're going to hear from two speakers, Roddy and Walter, and the topic for this morning, we're going to have a topic meeting this morning, and the topic is gratitude. So, Walter, would you like to share with us this morning?
Kia ora whanau, I'm multi-alcoholic.
Kia ora, Walter.
Kia ora, Walter.
Gratitude. That's an awesome topic. Gratitude, what I'm grateful for today is that I have my life today. A few years ago, that's not how things were, and I was in a place where I totally did not understand that or see that. Today, reflecting over my journey thus far, I'm grateful for what's been put in front of me. Grateful for the learning that I've had, all the lessons that I've had and had to overcome them. And I suppose the new boost of life that I've got from them, the growth that I've got from them, been awesome. So today I'm part of my gratitude is being grateful for my life. Also grateful that I have a God of my own understanding in my life today. As I grew up in a family that came from an Anglican background, so it was very Anglican orientated. But for me, that I could never really click with that way of doing things. I would often find myself running away on a Sunday, running out of the church when everyone had their backs turned. I would slip out the back door. And so for the beginning of my life up until a few years ago, I kind of had a relationship with God as I understood him. I understood God to be everywhere, and I understood God to be in all things that I had done in my life. I suppose more so in my recovery journey this far, I've come to know him a lot closer and a lot better. I've come to understand when I thought I was alone in a few dark places. I suppose places where, I suppose in a place where if I didn't make the right choice, I might not have been here today. And I've had to understand that in those times when I wasn't there, God was there. God was there for me. I'm really grateful today that I have a God of my own and understanding that's in my life. And he dictates, or he helps me to live life accordingly. Part of that process, I'm grateful. I wasn't raised with my culture as Māori. I wasn't raised with what I mean by that, I wasn't raised a native speaker. My native tongue was English. So I wasn't raised that way. I didn't have the understanding. But through this journey, I've picked that up again. I've picked up connections to who I am as a Māori, to my people again. That's been a growing experience in itself. So really grateful for that. Grateful that I have Alcoholics Anonymous in my life. Grateful for all the learnings that it gives me. Really grateful that I have a program to live my life by. I've been struggling with trying to get sobriety for the last 10 odd years. Prior to coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, I tried to many ways to find recovery, and each time I usually picked up or relapsed back into using alcohol. So finding AA, I think I came to AA 2009 year, I came into AA. So finding AA and being around it and understanding how AA works, it has shown me a way to live my life. It has helped me understand that I suffer from the disease of alcoholism. It's helped me understand that I suffer also, or I have the allergy of craving. So the moment I take my first drink, something happens inside of me that usually sets off a spree. So a spree means sets off, I usually want more. And through that process, what I've found is that when that's happened to me, sometimes there could be a day or two, or sometimes there could be a week, sometimes more than a week, till I've had my full. I'm really grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous, as it's taught me how to deal with it. It's taught me how to keep things simple. So really grateful for those things. Keeping things simple is about keeping my head or my mind in the day and concentrating on the things that I have to do to keep myself sober and to be in a position to help someone else. As they say here in Alcoholics Anonymous, in order to keep what you have in your life, you've got to give it away. So I've got to go through that. I've got to be like that through the day, so that I'm in a place where I can pass that on, pass my experience, strength and hope on to somebody else. My primary purpose in any given day, like today, is to maintain my sobriety. So far, I'm grateful that I managed to do that. I'm grateful that I have people that love me today that can openly show that. I'm grateful also that I can openly be a part of their lives and show how I feel about them. Growing up and coming through my alcoholism, I pretty much didn't know how to feel when I was in the company of others, especially emotional. My wife often says to me that when we met, I was emotionally illiterate, so I didn't understand what that was. I kind of didn't understand what she was talking about. But what I do know today is that what she meant is that I wasn't there for her emotionally. I didn't know how to relate to her. Didn't know how to relate to what she was going through, and didn't know how to respond. Today, through being in recovery and walking this journey, I've managed to peel down or break down some of the barriers. I suppose more of myself has actually come to the light. In doing that, that's helped me. My wife said to me the other day that she'd noticed that I'm becoming more and more emotionally literate this time. So I'm becoming more and more in tune with my own emotions. You know, it shows, for me, grateful because it shows me that I'm developing, I'm changing. Because the old me, the way that I was before, I had lots of barriers up. I sometimes call it layers and layers of bricks around my heart. You know, so it was really, really hard for others to gauge where I was at, because I would never let any, I would never show any form of emotion at all. I would never let nothing slip, so that you could not tell how I was feeling. Whether I was happy, sad, or angry, I would always try and maintain the same composure. But yeah, as over time, being in this journey here, it's actually helped me learn to unfold or unravel myself. It's helping me to learn who I really am, who the real Walter is. In the old days, I had many masks. So, yeah, it's helped me to pull all of those masks off and actually to look at who I really am. Look in the mirror. Okay, yeah, so just I suppose I'm getting signal to finish my kōrero. I'm really grateful that we have these that we are able to come on the radio and share our experience, strength and hope. And if anyone's out there listening and you are able to relate to some of the things we're sharing about, please reach out in your local areas. We'll reach out or ring the 0800 number, AA Works. Yeah. So, yeah. Kia ora mai tātou,
e te whanau. Oh, kia ora, Walter. Roddy, would you like to share with us this morning?
Thanks, Megan. Hi, everyone. My name's Roddy T, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Roddy T.
I'm a bit at a loss for words, but... the topic is gratitude, and I guess a little bit about me as an alcoholic was that there were a lot of things that I was grateful for before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like I was grateful that I was able to get off the ground after being beaten black and blue, and you know, I was grateful that the two people that had guns pointed at me didn't pull the trigger, you know, and I was grateful that I got out, you know, I didn't be fatally disabled after walking away from car crashes. So, you know, there was a lot of things I was grateful for then. But the other side to that is like... what had put me in those places, and for me, what had put me in those places was like I always wanted to do things the way I wanted to do things, and whether it was if I was be sitting in a whoopee party, and you know, I'll hide my alcohol, and I'll drink your alcohol, and then sneak away, like my friend talked about, slip out the back door and slip away and go and drink my alcohol. And but the problem with that was that once I had the first taste of alcohol in me, my first taste of alcohol, I always had an urge to carry on drinking, and it was kind of like once I had a drink, I just wanted to carry on drinking. And I felt for me is that it was basically I didn't have a off switch. And when they'll be at some of these gatherings, I could see that the alcohol was sort of like running low, I'll try and drink it faster, and two for me and half for you, and kind of like thing, and just drink it. And at that time of my life, I didn't think it was I didn't think it was a problem for me, but as time went by, it was like I don't know if you've got folks out there had these situations. They invite you to come to their whoopee parties, and then they're all happy to see you at the whoopee parties, and then sometimes the invitations start to wear thin because they just cannot put up with the behaviour that I displayed at times, that's probably why I was able to, fortunately, be able to pick myself off the ground a couple of times without being, after being beaten black and blue, but then the funny thing about that, the next day I'm angry about what I could remember of what I had remember, and then. Then I want to have another drink. I just want to have another drink and, make my problems go away. When I arrived here into Alcoholics Anonymous, which I believe for me was that a power greater than myself had always been looking out for me. It was about me asking their power greater than myself to help me. And I believe my power greater than myself led me to Alcoholics Anonymous for me. And then come here to Alcoholics Anonymous, and then, I'm Ngāti Paua on my dad's side and Ngāpuhi on my mum's side, and come to Alcoholics Anonymous and see our European brothers and sisters at these meetings that I was asked to attend. And I'm looking around for other brown faces like myself, and yeah, it's kind of like what my friend shared earlier. In a different light, though, in my in respects to me, was that the walls went up for me. I'm thinking that I'm not like the folks that are here. However, the folks said two things to me that first gathering I went to. I dressed to the nines, maybe looking for the future Mrs. Roddy T, and dressed to the nines, go to the meeting, and then walk into this gathering, and just a group of middle-aged to elderly men, and all Europeans. But what they did say to me was that they said to me that one thing I remember them saying was, if you don't take the first drink, you can't get drunk. And the next one they said to me is, just keep coming back. See, at that time when I came here, I didn't know what was my problem, But, like I said, my invitations had worn out thin, and these people were inviting me to come back to these gatherings. So, come along and have a look. And then, I started to hear folks talk about that I may suffer from an illness, and if if I did suffer with this illness that these other folk have, had and have, is that that there's only three options for folks like themselves and also like myself, if I am, was that I'd either be institutionalized or death, or the other option was to try not to have a drink one day at a time. So for me, I had already been institutionalized, and I had towards the end of my drinking, I didn't want to die. So I thought I'll try what these gentlemen said, is to try not to drink for one day. Now that in itself is seems quite easy for me to fathom, and so I did that. But then it was the, like my friend had shared earlier about the emotional and also in my case my mental state, and that was it was not so bad not drinking, but it was the stuff that was always thinking about things and how I looked at things during my day, you know, and I could be easily triggered into being angry quite quickly, and even if the person might be just saying good morning, and my interpretation of them is would be quite expletively interpreted wrong, and then that was just the thing, you know, like I looked at things quite abnormally when I got here. However, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, they said they shared with me that if I wanted to have change, there was some things that I needed to do. So first and foremost, I came here, listened to a lot of what the Fellowship talked about. They talked about a lot of things that I had experienced, which was sometimes my body functions were not working properly, also in those states of disarray, and sometimes it was like that the circumstances that I had put myself in was always because, like I said at the beginning, I always wanted to be there. I made the choice to be there, and I had to suffer the consequences, whether they were good or bad, you know. And when things were good, I thought it was because of me. When things were bad, I thought it was because of yous. And really, what it came down to was about all my choices that I did and had done was because I wanted to do things my way. That had to take a little bit of a while to understand for me about me, really, because alcohol, and also in my experience, alcohol and drugs. I am primarily an alcoholic, but I had also done other chemicals as well. Those were all the things that helped me try to combat restlessness, irritability, and discontentment. I'd always try to combat that stuff. But it failed. It failed, with a capital F. And then and that's how I wound up here to Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I got here, they said this program of Alcoholics Anonymous will help me be the best person that I can be. And that, in a sense, has been very true to me, because I know when I screw up, I'm more aware of the things that that I know when I'm screwing up and what I need to do about those things. And also, I have been able to do some great things since I've been here with Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is October the 31st of 1998. I have been very fortunate not to take a drink and a mind-altering chemical since that date. And they said that all I had to do, Alcoholics Anonymous said that all I had to do was to carry this message and of Alcoholics Anonymous and to pass it on to the next suffering alcoholic. So for those that are listening, I hope you have kind of gained an insight of this alcoholic and what this alcoholic has to do to try and stay away from the first drink. And it's been with much gratitude I have been able to find this through the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you very much. This is Roddy T, alcoholic, a very grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you very much, Megan.
Kia ora, Roddy. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I'm just going to read this text out of The Keys to the Kingdom out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The last 15 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. I've had my share of problems, heartaches and disappointments, because that is life. But also I have known a great deal of joy and a peace that is the handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my AA friends, an unusual quality of fellowship, for to these people I am truly related, first through mutual pain and despair, and later through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. And as the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding and love without strings, without obligation, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness with that awful ache so deep in the heart of every alcoholic that nothing before could ever reach it. That ache is gone and never need return again. Now there is a sense of belonging, of being wanted and needed and loved. In return for a bottle and a hangover, we have been given the keys of the kingdom. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here this morning and sharing with us. Thank you to our listeners that have tuned in this morning to be with us once again. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757. Someone on that line will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. That concludes our sharing this morning. AA Meeting on Air will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. Would you both please help me close with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.
Works if you work at it. There are over 100 AA meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air. Thank you to our listeners and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6.
No mai hoki mai.
Ka kite anō.